Today, I'm joined by author Deborah Levine, whose remarkable new biography, Jazzed, Jack Colin, 20th Century American Dance, shines a long overdue spotlight on legendary choreographer Jack Cole, the visionary often called the father of theatrical jazz dance. His groundbreaking work transformed Broadway, Hollywood, and generations of dancers, yet his extraordinary story has remained largely untold. We'll explore the genius, the complexity, and the lasting legacy of the man who helped shape American dance and influence some of the greatest choreographers of all time. Jazzed, Jack Cole and 20th Century American Dance, published by University Press of Kentucky, is available on Amazon, BarnesandNobleBookshop.org, and all the usual places. And for everything about Deborah, go to artsmeme.com. That's her website, artsmeme.com, and you can follow her book on Facebook. And Deborah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi, Ira. How are you?
Good. Shall we dance?
Yeah. Pas de deux.
Before we get into Jack Cole, a fascinating biography about this man, who I knew very little about, if anything. I thought I knew a lot about Hollywood and Broadway and stuff, but then I always remember I can always learn something new, and you've obviously proved it with this book. Well, let's talk a little bit about your background first and then how you got talked into the idea of researching and writing a book by Kenneth Anger, and we'll talk about who he is in a minute. But a little bit about your background first.
Yes, well, people always ask, did you dance? Yes, I did dance. I'm a former modern dancer. Back in the day that we used to call the dance boom, which was the 1970s and 1980s in New York, was just a lot of creativity going on. And I studied as a modern dancer. I was part of the school of Merce, the great choreographer Merce Cunningham, and I studied with other teachers, and I performed with a few small companies. But my dance career did not fit my rather immense talent, which is to say, you know, I was just one of the many girls aspiring to be professional dancers who flooded New York in that era, and who continue to go into New York. And, you know, I threw in the towel after I injured a knee and tried to get away from dance. I actually moved overseas. I moved to Hong Kong to start a career in business. And that has really proven to be a good training for me, good skill set for me. As soon as I moved, as I said, to Hong Kong, within maybe 6 months, I was writing about dance, because to be in New York in that time was just a kind of immersion. It was still the 20th century, and you notice that the words 20th century are in the title of my book, because that is my era of expertise, and it was a great century in the nation for the art form of dance. So, came back to the U.S. from being overseas, and I was a dance writer. I was a self-formed dance writer, and I've been a freelance dance writer for 42 years now. There was a time where you could make a buck as a freelance dance writer. Those days are over. I mean, those days are over. What else can I tell you? I really flourished, I think, in this role of watching live dance in the theater. And over time, I would say that, and this leads up to why do this book, great dancers are the low-hanging fruit. They are delectable. They are delicious. And I love great dancing very, very much. But over time, over these 42 years, probably I morphed more into an interest in choreography, the art of making dances. It interests me in a deeper level, because there's a lot of very stimulating questions, like, what is dance? Why is it important? Why does it work? Why does it not work? Who's good at it? Who isn't? And those are really big questions that I've lately challenged myself with.
Well, there's so much to talk about dance. And I'm going to have you back on to talk about why dance is so appealing to people. But the reason I wanted to have you on today was your biography of Jack Cole. Interesting figure. And you were introduced to him by Kenneth Anger, who was an experimental filmmaker, if I remember correctly.
Yes. I think those kinds of neat titles are helpful. But of course, Kenneth Anger was more than an experimental filmmaker. You know, he was a maker of very edgy, homoerotic films. I have not really seen them. I know of them by reputation. But one of the reasons I live in Los Angeles, not that you asked, but we have a fantastic film community here and a fantastic film. We have great theaters. We have great, huge movie screens. We have space. I don't think that's news to anyone, but in many, many years living in Los Angeles, where I moved from Hong Kong, I really became a devotee and a habitué of particularly classic film screenings, because the history of Hollywood is infinitely fascinating to me and other people. So at a classic film event, I was introduced to Kenneth. He was there. He's since passed away. And I simply told him my name and said that I was a dance writer. He immediately really locked eyes with me and said, somebody needs to write about Jack Cole. And it was just one of those moments. I mean, I'm not like a real, you know, although I live in California, not like a real fruits and nuts kind of girl. I'm pretty down to earth, but it was the urgency in his voice that really spoke to me. And let's see, this was the year 2007, 2008. And I went home and I, of course, Googled Jack Cole, and there was really nothing, precious little on the internet at the time about kind of connected the fact that I had just seen Jack Cole's masterpiece, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, projected on a big screen in the vintage theaters of downtown Los Angeles. And just everything started sparking that, in fact, he had created these incredible, fantastic, wild dance numbers in that movie. And I don't know. I guess the next step before I got completely hooked was, you know, using YouTube and looking at these numbers. And I'm thinking, wow, this guy's really good. In other words, it wasn't just exotic. It wasn't just, oh, he worked with Marilyn Monroe.
Rita Hayworth as well.
I beg your pardon?
Rita Hayworth as well.
Of course, many of the post-war.
Marlene Dietrich.
That's right. He worked with all these great female movie stars. But it was the dance critic's eye that I put on his work that recognized that, in fact, he was a great choreographer. And that goes to the question of what is dance? When is dance good? When is dance not good? And I'm not saying I'm the god of that decision, but I am my own god of my own decision. And since that day, since that revelation that he was a great choreographer, I've never gone back.
Why is it we hear, I just always remember, certain names always come to mind, and I'll put myself in the role of the public here, Busby Berkeley, Gene Kelly, Fred Astaire, et cetera, some not choreographers, but well-known dancers, but Busby Berkeley, for example, in the area of choreography for motion pictures. Why is it that Jack Cole seemed to slide away from any official recognition or history?
Yeah. Wow. That's just a huge question. And someone should write a book about that.
That's you, Deborah. That's part two.
Oh my God. I forgot to talk about that. No,
well,
of course.
The current book is called Jazz, Jack Cole, and 20th Century American Dance.
Well, that's right. That's right. So we're talking about Hollywood dance, which is his own niche. But of course, Cole also operated outside. He did theater dance on Broadway, and he also had a nightclub act, which was a live performance in small venues. So in terms of Hollywood, again, it's just, and I'm not remotely ducking the question, but there's just, it's a lot of things. And I feel I'm betraying my subject a little bit to lead with his personality. He had a very troublesome personality. He did, when he passed away, there were a few sighs of relief.
Well, wait a second, Deborah. Napoleon had a problematic personality.
But we know Napoleon. But remember okay, so Napoleon. Then I'll get, okay, I got it, right. So
Harry Cohn from Columbia had that kind of personality, but everybody remembers him as well.
That's right.
Famously got along with Jack Cole.
He famously got along with Cole. Yeah. You know, I would say that in the era, which his time in Hollywood was the 40s and the 50s, it's kind of a neat umbrella from about 1943 till 1960, his last movie with Marilyn Monroe. He worked primarily, he did not work a lot, although he did work at MGM, but he did not work in the A-list of MGM. He worked in kind of a B-tier at MGM, but mostly he worked outside MGM. And he choreographed, I mean, he did great dancing in mediocre movies.
I like the way you phrase that. Okay, great dancing in mediocre movies. I know that he worked with the Freed unit at MGM.
He did. He did work with the Freed unit. And that's the A unit. You know, that is the home of Kelly. And Berkeley also worked for Arthur Freed. Charles Walters is another choreographer who worked for Arthur Freed. Well, I was about to say Minnelli. Minnelli was a dance
Vincent Minnelli
oriented director who was part of the Freed unit, but there was a great dance culture in the Freed unit. Let me get really honest with you.
Please.
Jack Cole, who came up through the modern dance world in New York, was, let me use the label, an artiste. And his choreography was more concerned with the kind of dancing that you see on the concert stage than what you see in Hollywood dance. So, for example, if we talk about Kelly, and I'm going to just dive right into it. Gene Kelly, who was a great movie star and who was a sufficient tap dancer and who was probably not a great choreographer, but he had that charisma and he had the MGM machine behind him. And again, he was in great movies of the Freed unit where there were so many great artisans kind of collaborating. But Kelly was not a trained dancer choreographer of the ilk of Jack Cole. Jack Cole was a fish out of water in Hollywood in that regard. I mean, when Jack Cole arrived in Hollywood, it was chorus girls and kick lines, pretty girls. Like, think of Busby Berkeley, the camera going by, these pretty girls. But they don't really have muscles. They're not really trained. They're not using their body in a kind of jazzy way or in a kind of technical way. So that's what Cole was all about. And to appreciate his art, which I deeply do, you have to suffer through some pretty bad movies.
Gotcha. I think, too, that even if he was not part of, in a way, the Hollywood establishment, it would seem to me that historians, those who write about Hollywood, would have found Jack Cole a lot sooner than you did, and yet you're the one that brought him back from...
I know. It's very strange. It's very strange, but it begs another question. So it was his personality. It was his choice of material. It was the, in LA, it was the studios that he worked in, which were not particularly A-list movie musical makers. Although he worked at Fox. He was very prodigious at 20th Century Fox. And they had a lot of movie musicals.
Look at it this way, Deborah. I would look at it as a badge of honor that you're the one that's actually writing about Jack.
Well, no. I mean, I'm very proud of it. Believe me, because I've really had to stick with my belief that he was a great, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of eyes rolling at me. And, you know, for me, the proof is in the pudding. You know, read my book and see what an innovator he was and what a pioneer he was. But I do want to go back a beat. Mm-hmm. And just address the nature of choreography in the movies. I mentioned at the beginning that when Kenneth Anger told me that somebody needed to write about Jack Cole, that I connected dots with the fact that I had just seen Gentlemen Prefer Blondes on a massive screen at the Los Angeles Theater in downtown LA. And even I, at the time, it's not the case anymore, but even I, at the time watching this, I'm watching this giant Jane Russell and this giant Marilyn Monroe in these sexy gowns and their, you know, sleek moves. It is, it's almost, well, for overwhelming. It is so thrilling to see the moving body on this. I was not thinking, I wonder who choreographed that. There's this weird disconnect that you think, I mean, if it's working, you think Monroe or Jane Russell, they're making it up as they go along. Exactly, or you right. just figure, right. I don't know, the director did it. And many critics, many film critics, crazily credit. I mean, do you think Howard Hawks like did those steps in Gentleman from Blood? He did not. Yeah. There was a short guy, a really intense guy who had an anger issue, and he was drilling like slaves. He was drilling those girls over and over and over. To quote Jane Russell, it was like to the point that it was like driving a car. You just did it and you didn't think about it. That's how rehearsed Cole, and he was draconian. And look at the result. It's movie magic. So when you ask why is his name not known, I think it is part and parcel of the experience in looking at dance on film. For example, another one.
Well, let me play devil's advocate, though. Wait a second. I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Oh, my God.
Busby Berkeley. We mentioned him a couple of times now. Okay, you're watching that on screen, and he's well-known. So why yes. would not Jack Cole be known if you saw a particular number that...
Yes, okay. Well, I would quote Cole on this, which is that Cole deprecated Busby for choreographing Wallpaper.
So you okay?
The girls. He was a cameraman,
right?
That was his genius,
right?
And the girls were props, brilliantly arranged, and it's thrilling.
But cinema. again, if you're watching it, then you still know Busby Berkeley's name.
Okay, I hear you. Well, let's come back in 5 years after okay, my book gets out.
Okay, so as Jack would say, that was the end of that. Okay, so now let's move on. We'll talk about how, interestingly enough, I mentioned earlier about Harry Cohn.
Yes.
In Colombia, Harry Cohn was a tyrant, no doubt about it. Yet he, for some reason, was able to get along with Jack Cole. And Jack Cole had a lot of leeway, a lot of power, a lot of independence working at Colombia. Why was that? What was it about these two gentlemen that just seemed to work?
Oh, would that I could have been in the room. But I do have quite a bit of material on that, like different people who observed the relationship and Cole himself speaking about the relationship. Cole describing that at the end of the day, Cohn inviting him in to look at rushes by his side. And Cohn kind of tutored Jack Cole in every dimension of filmmaking. And then he set him free on the soundstage. And he told people, let Jack alone, let Jack do as he wishes. And Cole came up with costume design and he came up with set design. And he, you know, he would chomp at the bit to like push, you know, the DP out of the way and, you know, take the camera. He came in prepared with, I always forget the word. Oh, I hate this word that, you know, the
the ratio?
No. When there are designs of, you know, of frame by frame.
Oh, storyboards.
Storyboards. Cole would come in with storyboards. He was so prepared. He was so, yeah, Harry Cohn, you know, I use the expression mobbed up, you know, mobbed up. He was, you know, and those were the days, you know, before the studio strike where the moguls were very involved with, you know, the labor unions and the mafioso who kind of ruled the roost and kept the peace on the studio lot. And Cohn was deeply involved in that scene. Both Harry Cohn and Jack Cole were street kids, basically. I mean, Cohn, I don't think, went to high school. He grew up a very scrappy guy on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And Cole was virtually a street kid. I use that description of him from New Brunswick, New Jersey. Okay, a kind of rough and tumble town. He had a very rough upbringing. The sole offspring of divorced parents. And he was sent off to boarding school from the get-go. And I mean, nuns, and I'm sure his entire life was about fighting with the nuns. I mean, that's just what I picture. except that at night he would go under the cover with the flashlight and read movie magazines. So Cole was this weird mixture of street guy and extremely erudite dance scholar. Absolutely unbelievable combination. And so the two men met in Hollywood, and they had foul language, dropping the F-bomb, just very rude, deprecating things, about women. I mean, Cohn was a real sexual predator. But the thing that really, the glue that kept them together was a young actress, a young starlet named Rita Hayworth. Okay.
And also Jack Cole had some connections with the mob too.
Well, he did, because en route to Los Angeles. So again, I told you, he started on the East Coast. He was born in New Jersey, and he kicked around, and he was part of the early modern dance world in New York, and kind of hit the street as a freelance dancer in 1931. Not a good year to try to start any kind of career. And he was so alive. He was so prescient. He noticed that in 1933, when Prohibition was rescinded, December of that year, that, New Yorkers, I hate to praise you, but, being the wily, crafty people that New Yorkers are, all these little nightclubs start popping up, like mushrooms or whatever the analogy is. And Cole fashioned an act for nightclubs, because nightclubs had to offer entertainment. Mm-hmm. This brings me to the mob. So he found that he could get along with really predominantly Jewish mobsters who owned this national kind of chain of nightclubs. And he became like an A-list guy performing in nightclubs. And boy, when you are performing like this distance from an audience, okay, some of whom are drunk, catcalling, making fun of your sexuality, not understanding what you're putting out, you learn how to be a performer. And anyway, he rapidly excelled until he really dominated the nightclub circuit as the premier dance act in nightclubs. And that is kind of the road that took him to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. But those clubs, and he was really playing the top clubs, and they're all named in my book, were owned and operated. I mean, sometimes there was what's called a boniface, a front man who was not quite maitre d', even a little higher than a maitre d'. So there was a front-facing gentleman of the club, mm-hmm. but they would represent the likes of, Meyer Lansky and his ilk. They were the mafia that was really pulling the strings in those clubs. So I do have illustrations of his encounters with really bad people, and the fact that for some reason, again, he could kind of get what he wanted out of them. He claimed, in his words, "I made them money, and if you make them money, they'll be happy." But come on, that's so reductive.
We have a couple of minutes left. One thing I want to ask you is, how did you do the research? Because again, nobody knew who Jack Cole was.
Yes.
How did
yes.
you, if you limit it to yes. about a minute or so, and so, then I'll ask you what people will take away from reading your book.
Yeah. Well, the book is deeply researched, and I think it's all buttoned down, every fact.
Where did you find that material, though? How did you
go? Okay, well, UCLA here in Los Angeles has a trove of Jack Cole papers, but I got my main research in London.
Okay.
Yes. And thank God in 2019, after knowing for really a decade that Jack Cole's performance scrapbooks were at the Victoria and Albert Museum archive in London, after knowing that, for some reason in 2019, I was like, today's the day, I'm going. I went to London. I was a pig in...
Gotcha. Yep.
Loving it. Came back full of research, COVID hit. And the V&A, as it's called, closed down for several years. So during COVID, I really toiled to transform my raw research into the written narrative that I'm presenting to the world.
Well, last question before I let you go. What do you want people to take away from reading your book, again, it's called Jazz, Jack Cole and 20th Century American Dance?
Right, right. That Jack Cole was a great choreographer whose name belongs up at the top.
Short and sweet.
You know, with the great ones. I will say, and I reveal in the book, that George Balanchine, who is considered really our greatest choreographer working for New York City Ballet, at New York City Ballet, he was a big Jack Cole fan. So for me, that says it all.
Yeah, great way to leave it. My guest has been Deborah Levine. She's author of Jazzed, Jack Cole and 20th Century American Dance, published by University Press of Kentucky and available on Amazon, BarnesandNobleBookshop.org, and all the usual places. And for everything about Deborah, go to artsmeme.com, artsmeme.com, and follow her book on Facebook. And Deborah, thanks for being on the show.
I enjoyed it immensely, Ira. Thank you.
And join us every Thursday for a new schmear on Ira's Everything Bagel.